Thank you. So I would like to pay respect to traditional custodians of the land upon our meeting today, and would like to pay my respect to the leaders past, present, and emerging. So everyone calls me Tico, even though my full name is Satrin Indios Tico. If you have a question with that, we can do another 15-minute presentation. I don't mind. But let's just move on with the agenda. So I'm going to talk about empowering multicultural PLHIV through adaptable and flexible community-led HIV services. So this is basically talking about non-clinical HIV service and how we're trying to adapt the service for PLHIV from culturally and linguistically diverse background. First, I would like to acknowledge, obviously, all the PLHIV in Queensland, especially those from multicultural background, the wonderful, amazing QPP board staff and volunteers who keep on doing the hard work, and then also for Communicable Diseases Branch in Queensland Health for funding the service. So if we look at the data first and we look at that, for the specific service that I'm going to talk about, which has existed since 2016, we've pretty much already got like 595 clients, and about almost 40% of them, the clients were born overseas, right? And we've got quite a significant people who are ineligible for Medicare. But we didn't record people who were Medicare ineligible in their past before they engaged with us, obviously. And then we also receive a large number of inquiries, a lot of them about access to HIV treatment, which might come from you know, Australians who just moved to Queensland and wanted to know what the system in Queensland is like. But we also get a lot of people who still live overseas and they want to prepare their move to Australia, and so they send us an email. And also lots and lots of email and phone calls about immigration. So what does QPP actually provide for them? So the program that we have for people living with HIV is called Life Plus, funded by Queensland Health. And Life Plus is pretty much about addressing that individual needs, addressing the barriers to HIV treatment and care. And within that, we have three programs. The first one is the case management, peer navigation, and then stigma and discrimination. The funding is obviously has a KPI set by the funding body, and it's mostly about biomedical outcomes, clinical outcomes. But obviously, as a community organizations, we need to think broader than that, and which is why I would just like to highlight that the goal of our services is actually about self-management. It is this idea that when a person can achieve good quality of life and well-being, then they will have a good self-management skills, and then their clinical and social and other outcomes will improve. So the first one, I have to go through each of these services first before I can actually talk more about how adaptable and flexible we are. But the first one is the case management, and we call it treatment support and facilitations. We have 8 case managers statewide, 3 of them identified as HIV positive persons, and they have a mix of services that they offer. These 3 people actually can do the peer support and can also do the case management, and they can do it both at the same time or separately. It's just totally flexible depending on what the client needs from them. And then we have to talk also about the barriers that the PLHIV face and the case managers help with. And this is about a barrier that's quite complex because they affect each other. And the most important ones are basically about trust. So a lot of the people already have distrust towards institutions. So when they come to Australia, they already have a problem with trust. And then shame, and it's not just about shame of being HIV positive and shame of being gay men or that sort of thing. It's actually also about shame of needing help. Because when you migrate to a country like Australia, most of the times the goal is to actually live here and show that you can contribute to the Australian economy and you can have a job and you can have a good education and you have something to show. You're not someone who depends on the system. But there are a lot of shames, and we know where the shames come from when we look at the social media and how the media often portray migrants. And then there's also the story of trauma, you know, the trauma that they had in their home country, and then the trauma of migration itself. So the process of migration often actually brings a lot of trauma, and then people who already live here then have to experience trauma from racism and sexual or not, and other barriers. So all of this affects the things that we already know that they have problems with, you know, cultural barriers, language, lack of knowledge, transport, the way they navigate. All of these other barriers are pretty much, you can see that from how they actually present the trust, shame, and trauma issues. So what the case managers basically provide within their scope of practice is providing information, if that's what they only need from us, about housing maybe or other things. And if they need more, then we help them to link to other services. We help them until they're well engaged with those services. And we have quite a wide range of financial support for them as well. I do want to mention two of that. The first one is the Complex Client Fund. This is basically the result of a formal arrangement between QPP and also HIV Public Health Team in Queensland, in which that basically we can provide a financial support for those clients referred by HIV Public Health Team to navigate some of the barriers that they have with their HIV treatment and care. And then also the Emergency Treatment Fund, which is basically for Medicare ineligible who can't pay their medications, or for Medicare eligible person who just basically can't pay, because in Queensland you still have to pay the co-payment gap. The goal is basically about self-management. Again, this is very important, even if the client presenting a very complex issue where mental health and housing and financial issues are there. We basically pretty much set up a plan of action, plan of support, which we regularly review to achieve that goal, because we don't want to create PLHIV who depend on services. We want to create empowered PLHIV who are independent and have their agency. And then Stigma and Discrimination Program is basically about addressing individual presentation of stigma, discriminations, and other legal problems that might affect their HIV treatment and care and reduce their quality of life. It is about improving their legal literacy, and we don't act as a a legal firm. We do not provide legal and migration advice, but we have great relationship with them. One of the institutions that we work with, collaborate with formally, is HIV AIDS Legal Centre, HALC in Sydney. So they do have a quota of Queensland QPP clients that they need support with. And when it comes to PLHIV from multicultural background, the Stigma and Discrimination Program is quite essential, because most of them, almost every single one, has migration issues. And this is quite complex, because migration is a wild system. It's very wild. It's changing every year, depending on who become the minister and all that sort of thing. But at the very core of it, there is still a large discriminations and a systemic one in that, and one that you cannot just go to a legal firm and get help with and then you're going to get compensation. No, you just have to accept the fact that the system is quite discriminatory towards people living with HIV. And so in that kind of very disempowering environment, a lot of people do have to face a long term of anxiety, mostly situational. And what happened then, they put other needs aside, such as the needs to emotionally accept their HIV diagnosis. And then they would then prioritize this kind of issues, because this is much more of priority for them. So these issues about, that we usually just able to identify very quickly when the client is like a white gay man, it's going to be really difficult to address when it's, for an example, gay Asian men, international students who want to be a permanent resident but they can't. It's quite a very different presentation. The other thing is about helping them to understand about disclosure, privacy, and discriminations, understanding about whether they will be treated differently, unfairly, or less favorably, and then also about confidentiality, what confidentiality means and how it can actually protect them and all that sort of things. And then the program that I manage, peer navigation, so this is just a way to kind of showcase about the strength of diversity. And I would like to highlight that it's not about quantity. So if you look at, you got 11 or it used to be 17, that's a lot of people. Yes, but it's not so much about the quantity of it, it's about the quality of the support that the peer navigators provide to their clients. So for an example, we talk about adaptability and flexibility. We have a gay Asian man from Philippines being supported by a peer navigator who is white Caucasian, single mother with three kids. It works. We have a couple, serodiscordant couple. Husband is from African countries, and then the wife is Australian, and they're being supported by a gay Asian man, and it works. And there's this kind of interesting concept as we talk about culturally appropriate service, about what that means. What is culturally appropriate service in a multicultural community? And obviously, Alpine navigators are also all over the state. And then I talk a little bit about supporting Medicare ineligible, supporting them to access the treatment in Queensland, supporting sero discordant couples, and also, this is the things that we never thought of as we designed the service, because we thought about adult living with HIV. And apparently, obviously, there are people who are born with HIV, and they exist, they're in the space, but they're quite invisible as we go to this kind of conference, you know. And we support them, and we develop a quite great plan of actions, plan of support for them as well. And then obviously, for immigrations, peer navigators can actually share their lived experience going through migration, and it is actually quite meaningful as well, because sometimes you can't get an answer from your migration agent. You can't get that feeling that they know what you are going through. They know what they're talking about, and it is only when the peers actually started to share their own experience that the person can actually reduce the anxiety that they have been feeling. And then there are a lot of relevant resources that we develop alongside ASHAM as a part of our commitment to collaborate with other organizations, and also with HALC as well. So a case of adaptability and flexibility, we can see that, earlier this year we got three African Australian adolescents referred through the HIV public health team, and then QPP support them. We allocate one peer navigator, two case managers, we provide individualized group peer support. We even support the parents who also live with HIV. We provide them with the financial support. We link them with other services. We stay engaged with those other services. We regularly review our plan of support internally and with the client and with their parents. And we also regularly report to HIV public health team. So the length that we actually went from the original design of the service to provide the support for these three young men are quite enormous, the distance that we've gone through. So it all comes back to that idea, to that first slide that I have about Queensland positive people and the word inclusive within that. And we actually believe in that. By letting PLHIV from multicultural background to lead a service, that's a commitment, a big commitment. And it's a big risk too. But by taking both the commitment and the risk and work together, we have achieved great outcomes. So I just would like to kind of think about these things that used to be talked about, well, still being talked about in business school, but not talked about enough in public health, about leadership, about this idea that marginalization actually constrains the process of identification, participation, and development of marginalized leaders, about how we haven't been able to enable and foster multicultural leadership, about how we haven't been really open to the cultural differences on what constitutes a good leadership and governance. As we go through our research, services, programs, projects, what does that mean, especially those that are actually targeted towards multicultural PLHIV? So the next step for QPP is actually to do a community consultation. This is not just targeting towards multicultural PLHIV, but all PLHIV, but we're going to think about partnerships and collaborations to do it properly, to engage with community that are difficult to reach and to engage with. We're thinking about developing a community advisory group, because as a peer-based organization, we often think that, well, we have peer on the board, we have peer on the management, we have peer on the staff and on the volunteers. Why do we need a community advisory group for our own peer organization? And that's, I think, a bit mistaken, because as the board thinking about the strategic vision and the people, the staff and the volunteers thinking about everyday service, who else actually giving us an honest, open feedback about the quality and the safety of our clients? So I guess my last questions is that for services that provide HIV service to general population, in this era of peer-led research and intervention, help consumers, co-design approach, how flexible and adaptable are we willing to be to meet the needs of multicultural PLHIV? I don't think we have done enough. I think there are still room to talk about. I think this room should be filled with more people. Thank you.